grind.
Alright, where are you going? Here, okay?
Grind.
Oh my god.
Not coming in, I figured it, man.
Good job, buddy. The Hunt for Answers. The Ugly Pike Podcast.
All right, welcome back to the Ugly Pike Podcast on the Outdoor Journal Radio Podcast Network. This episode is brought to you by Canada's only specialized pike and muskie shop, Izoco. Head over to izocofishing.com and check out all of the amazing hand-picked, top-quality gear they have to offer. This episode is also proudly sponsored by Angling Sports, based in London, Ontario, and serving customers throughout Canada and the Northern U.S. With over 30 years of unmatched angler support, they offer top-tier fishing products catering to every skill level. Explore their offerings at anglingsports.ca and gear up for an unparalleled fishing experience. Now join us as we continue our discussion with the boys from Red October Baits. If you listened to part one, then I'm sure you started your carnivore diet. But if you haven't listened, head over to iTunes or Spotify and get yourself up to date. Now let's dive into part two and gain more amazing insights from these boys, including a story about a powerball fish that got away and caused some sleepless nights. Hope you enjoy.
Said, okay, Chris, I know you've got a list. I don't even know if you've even gotten one question off.
I don't have a list anymore. We've touched so many things. It's been great just listening. Everything gets kind of picked apart when one of the guys is talking. So we've touched on a lot of stuff. I'm open to where we want to go next.
Well, what
do you think?
Yeah, why don't we talk about what's coming down the pipe for Red October, for Hans? You know, Hans does so many things. If anybody doesn't know who he is, Hans the Carver makes the most amazing wood replicas for muskies. Also, very effective crankbaits that we've talked about. And he's, you know, I'm biased when I say he's the best guide on Lake Erie for muskie, but he's definitely, you know, up there. Josh, go ahead.
I was gonna say his carvings, like if you guys have never seen the carvings before, you can see him in person if you're in Buffalo. You come to Pearl Street Grill and Brewery. There's one of his carvings in the middle of the dining room. It's a tiger muskie, a 46-inch one that I caught. I have a lot of fun toys I like. That is my favorite possession that I own, period. Yeah. It's my favorite thing. I wouldn't sell it. I think you might have to kill me to take it from me. That's how I feel about it. I love it that much. I really do. Like, he hand-burned every scale into it, and it's the centerpiece of our dining room, man. And I'm, like, honored to have it.
So, Josh, the irony is that, like, When I first met Hans, you know, like you see this 6'6" guy at the door, and it's just this massive stature, massive hands, and then you look down and he brought this like incredibly intricate sculpture that looks like a work of art. And you're like, how did your hands create something so fine and intricate? And then, you know, you just see the passion in him and Hans. You know, we had a great discussion if you remember, and I'm just so impressed. And as what Josh said, it's like one of those things. If you see pictures, you can't. It doesn't do it justice. You have to see in person what these things look like, and they really are like it's a masterpiece. You have an incredible skill. I've seen lots of taxidermy replicas, and I've never seen anything as high quality, you know, of what you produce. And I'm curious: are your baits on the same level of that detail and that craftsmanship?
The ones that I'm selling, no, I actually. Have gone the opposite. Like I, you know, when it comes to the baits, I'm looking at those as tools. You know what I mean? Like fish catching tools. Like I did not want to make them something that was super hard to make. Now I have made very detailed custom crankbaits for people, which I got a couple of those I got to make this year. Like I've literally, you know, hand burned all the scales on a bait and, you know, made a walleye that looked like a real walleye and like, did all sorts of crazy stuff where we put magnets in them so that the hooks stick to the bottom of the bait and don't shake. Okay, did all sorts of cool stuff and made these like super high end baits. So I obviously can do that, but you know, it's something where I, you know, when it, you know, I pour all my true, you know, tedious artsiness into the fish, you know what I mean?
And then it takes a lot of time, right?
Yeah. It takes a ton of time to the point where, I mean, I'll be completely honest with you. I'm slightly burned out on it. I mean, I will be doing one or two fish a year.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that's the other thing is I'm going to kind of change the way that I'm doing it where I've been making them for people, like on commission, making their fish, where I kind of want to get into where I just start making a fish, you know what I mean? Of whatever I see fit,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And
auction it's art,
you know, yeah, and just
great
and
idea.
Just put them out there and, yeah. and see what
create like a scene, create a moment that's from your mind.
Absolutely, absolutely, and that's really cool. You know, when you're able to do that instead of having to spend so much time trying to make it look like that fish. I mean, yeah. lots of your time is chewed up in trying to get the body shape and size exactly the same as the picture.
It's stressful or the measurements. Too, though.
Like it's very stressful because sadly, I mean, I do. You know, I get paid pretty handsomely for them. So yeah. it's like, it's a, you got to make sure that you also, you know, put up a great quality
But you have to do it. You have to complete it. And you're yeah. guiding your brains yeah. out. You're making these lures. You've got a family.
I'll be completely honest with you. It all happened during a time when I was kind of down and out. I tore my aorta. And I was that's when I learned
casually
how to
throw that in there.
Yeah, I tore my aorta.
Did you mean to say
ACL?
What? Did you mean to say you tore your
no,
ACL?
No, the aorta. The big old bumper right in the middle of your whole body. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So basically, when I was down and out from that, I had lots of time. So I was able to sit and just do that. Sure, but like right. now, yeah. I'm ripping and tearing on a whole bunch of other fronts and with, yeah. you know, with the guiding and with the baits. And it's like there's just no time to, you know, you can't make that kind of art in a rush.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you have yeah. to be in the rush.
Yeah.
I know this sounds weird
for a
big guy like me, but I mean, you got to be in the right headspace too. Yeah. You can't be worried about yeah. anything. You can't be worried about money. You can't be, you got to be just in able to sit down and create. Like be happy and make a fish. Yeah. You know what yeah. I mean? And it's, you know, it's hard to get there.
If
sometimes.
You're making a replica of someone else's fish, like that's what he did for me. He made a replica of a fish I caught. You can look at the fish that I caught in the markings and he matched it. And doing that for a customer is paying you $10,000 or something for a carving. That is stressful because yeah. like you have to match it exactly. But Hans is like I'm not really speak for you, but you like to use your creativity in things. And when I feel like when you have the ability to just go and make whatever you want, people want to buy it anyways. And it's going to just be like, you know, you'll have more of a labor of love than a labor of matching.
That's how I feel. I agree. And you're the one who kind of made me see that. So thank you.
Well, we'll auction them off. Like, you know,
it's a great format. It's a great idea.
They're awesome, valuable. Like, man, they're the centerpiece of a room.
They're amazing. In real life, there's just I've never seen anything like it. Yeah. Are you going to be at the auto?
Hans, have you ever heard of Robert Bateman?
Robert Bateman. I'm not sure.
He's one of the most famous wildlife artists. He's a Canadian, but he's a legendary wildlife artist, and he's known for creating these scenes.
Yeah.
So I'll send you a link to him and cool. you'll just be blown away. Like at the, like, it's not just about the animal. It's about just the atmosphere that he creates in his artwork. And
right.
maybe he'll give you some inspiration, but he's definitely a legend.
So, I just want to say one more thing about Hans's like baits there. Like he was talking about how like, the details, he doesn't like to do the detailed ones anymore. He did a few like over the summer where he made like the fins on them. They're so beautiful. I actually got one. So I'm stoked. And they look like almost like a carving that he turned into a crankbait. But then he like refocused on like these baits that he's using, right? The carver and the shallow carver and this new one called the Larry. Oh, I love the Larry. But
that's a bigger one, right?
It's a bigger one yeah. with a really wide. It's like a headlock almost, but it's got this like super random wobble. It walks all over the place.
I remember we nailed it.
Dude. And oh, yeah, we got that big walleye in it.
We got the trophy walleye.
That's right. So, but you know, he's talking about like he doesn't want to do the details and the fins and all that stuff, but. From my vantage point, the details he's putting into the efficacy of the lure, like how it runs and specifically where he wants, a lot of the stuff when we were all part of Red October, the problem solving part of like the mechanics, there's some really awesome stuff that Hans figured out. He was like the engineer kind of us. And right, like, you know, Mark was too. I just wasn't at all. Like I'm not an engineer at all. I would just look at like this, be like, oh, I don't know what to do. But, you know, Hans and Mark would figure it out. But Hans had some really... You know, when he puts his brain to stuff, he fixes it out. And that's why, like, I'm using his baits now out of confidence, not just because it's, yeah. like, you know, my friend's bait, you know.
Yeah.
I got a lot of friends that make baits, but, I mean, Hans is one of my best friends, but his baits run awesome. I just have confidence.
Well, I talked about it on the last show that, like, when I showed up to the first time we were fishing, I'm like, every line basically has the same lure. but you know, they're all your lures, but of course they're mixed up. But there was not a single outside non-Hans bait. And it's like, it's obvious why. Confidence and history. Like, there's just no reason to step outside of those.
Yeah, I mean, for my perspective as a guide, like, I am very intimate with those baits since I made them. So I know exactly where they're running.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I know when I look at my screen and it says 19 and a half feet, I look back at the rod that I know is about to touch at 19 and a half feet. You know what I mean? Like, I know where everything is at. I know where each bait is in the water column because I made it. You know what I mean? And I dive curved them all. I know right where they are. So it's, besides just, of course, wanting to use my own baits, it's also a thing where it makes me more effective because I just know where everything's at.
So, you
know
what let
I
mean?
Me ask. I was just going to jump in there. So it's the same. I used to tie my own flies when I go into the rivers and before you just buy flies and what was working, but the minute you start tying flies and you catch on what you've tied and you try to mimic hatches or whatever the native bugs you want to mimic in the stream, once you start getting success on that, your confidence level skyrocket and the level of, you know, just like the celebration goes up because you put it all together in your mind and it worked out, right? Like, and then you just saw it happening while you're tying the fly and then you go in the river and then you catch the fish and then it's all from that bait that you created. And so I can see where your mindset is.
So Hans, because he can carve, like he can carve out of wood, and he's so good at carving out of wood, like he would make all different replicas and bring them out and trial and error them next to each other. This is one run, you know,
for the baits. Yeah.
Well, that's not something that everyone could do, but because he's so good at like doing that, he would just make different ones,
right.
And then he'd be like, "This is the one running the way I like it," and then get it perfect, and then manufacture it into like, you know, the hard injectable plastic that I don't want to call the wrong thing.
It's high density foam is what we're making the poly carvers out of, which is really all I make now for lures.
Yeah.
Unless if I'm doing like a, you know, a one off like hand carved bait for someone.
Let me ask you, because I know there's people listening, and I know like let's not create like tons of email and stuff for you. Are you open to commissioning some of these more fancier, like there's invariably people listening that are going to want some of the baits we're talking about, the ones like Josh has. Are you open to that, or is it you would rather just do your main line?
I'm open to anything. I've learned a long time ago not to shut the door on anything.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like I have no problem making custom wooden baits for people. However, like that you're gonna have. I mean, I got to do it on my time frame.
You better order it right now.
Yeah, you better. Yeah, you got to get it on the list, and then it's one of those things where I have no problem making them. It's just they take a long time and they're expensive.
Yeah.
I mean, if it takes me a week to make it, like it's gonna be an expensive bait. You know what I mean? Like,
some people in this community, they collect art, fishable art, right?
Yep.
You know,
there's no better. If you collect fishable art, there's no better piece of art than one of his carvings. So get in out of the auction.
Yeah.
And he's made not only muskies, he made a crappie for me. He's made a walleye for clubs.
Yeah.
I mean, fantastic work. In fact, my wife lets me.
So what's the waiting list? What's the waiting list time?
Years.
Oh, man. Well, right now I have a list of 18 people that want me to carve a fish for them. However,
like a big fish.
Well, yeah, most of them are muskies. And the thing is, I mean, before I was taking down payments for them to like be on the list, but now I don't do that.
Yeah.
So sorry to the people that have been on the list for a very long time and I haven't called you, but it's because
I'm just not auction between them.
Yeah.
That's it.
I mean,
I'm
not turning them out. You know what I mean? As fast as I wish that I could, because I got to make baits. I guide for 9 months out of the year. You know what I mean? And now all of a sudden I got 3 months to make, you know, my wintertime. Whatever I do,
do a musky chase.
So I gotta
stuff.
Do. I gotta make. I mean, just I have a this year. I have to do a smallmouth and a perch, and that's probably all I'm gonna do this year is a smallmouth and a perch, and then I'm gonna make my baits. And you know,
someone wants a custom bait. What are they gonna wait?
I mean, I could get a couple of them done by the end of this winter.
Okay.
I only
ask because I know you're gonna get traction off this episode, and we should probably establish that now so that you know you're not deluged.
I mean, I do a lot of one-off baits where literally I, you know, make it really. I made a 21 inch jointed muskie crankbait
that was so cool,
and it was just this big thing. And people were like, that doesn't have the perfect action, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, shut it's up. A one-off bait that looks exactly like a muskie, and it wobbles pretty sweet. You know what I mean? So, like, chill out, people. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like it's the, you know, a lot of it is.
Well, there's no little tiny octopuses swimming around either.
That's right. That's right.
So, Chris, I'm holding the Red October baits, and I want to shift gears, if you're okay with it, and ask Mark some questions.
Sure.
Yeah. So
before.
I wanted to see what the future was for Red October baits, and I'd like you to talk to that. But I've seen customs here and there from you, but that you're selling a lot of these, quote unquote. I mean, are you changing the way you offer your products to the public now?
In terms of the custom paint jobs?
Yeah, like these are different.
Yeah.
These are entirely.
Before, Frank, I think Mark said to us there's a certain volume that someone would order, then they could customize the color to whatever they wanted.
That's what I'm saying, Chris. Yeah, it seems. I have a feeling that you're taking that more to the mainstream now, or did I get that wrong?
No, that's right. Yeah. We're not only custom paint
and
jobs.
Why? Tell us why you made that decision.
Well, I could finally do it. Is probably the biggest reason. I never had the inventory to get a process in place for custom paint work, because I was always making lures to order, you know, dipped lures to order. So I think we've gotten ourselves into a pretty comfortable spot now where I feel a lot better about pushing out some of that custom paint work, because I have enough tube bodies. Like I probably have 5,000 bodies at the shop. So
what does that mean?
What does it mean?
Like, you've got 5,000 tubes ready to go?
Yeah.
But they're not customized yet.
Right. Right. So just base colors, you know, I probably have
black, green,
500 whites. Right. So I have, I would say a dozen of our standard colors. I have between 300 and 500 a piece of each of those dozen colors right now.
Okay.
So we still do a lot of custom dip colors. Team Rhino carries, I think they're upwards of 30, maybe 35 colors.
Okay.
And then, Musky Tackle Online, they have probably 15 to 20 of our custom painted colors that they carry.
Nice.
So what's allowed that to happen is really just I've got some good employees finally who, you know, are committed to
You do have good employees, man. This, good this people. Work. I love coming over there. Like, I just go like going over to help because it's fun. Like, the tubes, you have the group of guys, and they're a good group of guys, and it's just like a good, you know. On my Monday nights when I get out of jiu-jitsu, I'm like, man, after making tubes, I'm going to swing on by and say,
hey. Yeah, Mondays seem to be the get-together night. I'll also throw my sister-in-law in there, Gwen. She's been fantastic in helping us grow. So she goes in during the day, so she doesn't
That's awesome.
She doesn't have to put up with the nonsense that goes on in the evenings.
And are you doing the fishing shows in the States? Are you doing all of them?
Yeah. We'll be at Chicago, followed up by Columbus, and then
New York, because they moved that forward.
Yeah, that's right. So those are back-to-back weekends.
Is there an Odyssey? I don't even know.
I don't know. I just asked Johnny Miller. I was asking him last night.
We have a location. Like anybody listening out there, if you think we should do a muskie thing in Buffalo, we have a really cool location with like a stage, music, the brewery is like big. And I don't know. Give it some thought. Yeah. I think we could do it here. We're good. It's like the Odyssey. We'll do it opposite years of the Odyssey, and we could do something like that here. But we want to know there's support for it in the community before, you know, it's a big risk. But if you guys are into it, like, we could do like an international thing right over the border. It would be it's a cool location. It's right on the waterfront too, right in Buffalo Harbor. So.
Cool. You know what? I'm going to send a text
talking about
right
that
now.
For a long time.
Yeah.
All right.
But we knew we had some support. If you guys listen and say, hey, you know, I'll support that. Let's do it. You know, like, got good hotels down here, really good food in Buffalo, and it'd be cool. It'd be a cool venue. It's got like, it's where the grain silos are, and there's a Ferris wheel and zip lines and ice skating rinks, all kind of weird shit. And so, yeah, but it's true. You know, it'd be fun.
Sounds great.
You can do presentations, all kinds of stuff there. Yeah, you know, Hans, I want to say one last thing, like about his car or Hans's carvings. We talked about the process for Red October baits, how we came to be, like, you know. We were a group, and we problem solved together, and everything like that. With Hans doing the process for his carving, from my perspective, it was like one day he was just like, "I think I could carve a fish out of that block of wood," and then he just did, and it was like pretty good. And then the next time it was like five times better, and then it was just like looked like a real fish. And I was like, to me, it was like one of the most baffling things I ever witnessed, that someone just walked into a block of wood and was like, "I feel like I carve a fish out of it," and then just did it. He did it like and like his first was your first one a trout, right? A trout for your dad or whatever. Yeah. And then what did you do? The crappie was the next one.
Mark's crappie.
And that was awesome.
I also have a balsa one. I have
a balsa the little musky. I was thinking about doing miniatures.
Yeah, that thing's
like
awesome.
Doing real, like you know, carved miniature muskies that are like a foot long. Yeah, that, like stand on their fins.
Kinda. I think that's really cool. Remember when I caught that 11, Chris, on Eagle Lake? We should have got hung.
Yeah,
the 11.
No OG. Like,
yeah, you chucked it back. Yeah, dude, I remember that. That thing was full of like amazing colors.
Yeah, yeah. I've never seen that big before. I had a muskie hit it the same size lure it was. So, but that's actually a good idea. It makes things affordable for people.
Yeah.
So I just want to announce some breaking news here, Chris. I immediately texted Ryan Pickering, president of Muskies Canada. And he says, "Oh yeah,
nice."
So there's going to be an Odyssey this year. So
there's an Odyssey.
All right, yeah,
cool. Looking forward to it.
So listen, are you going to bring a carved fish there? Usually, sometimes you do.
I might be able to arrange that. I probably should.
Yeah, if it's too much of a burden. But either way, guys, get over to the Red October booth and meet Hans and see what he's got going on, and of course, see what Mark's bringing, because they always. I mean, you bring the kitchen sink when you go there, and it's gone, right? Yeah.
That format that we came up with years ago of just putting a giant pile of tubes out on a table has stuck. Like
it's like
love,
this meat platter. Right?
Yeah,
like
right.
You
can't
walk
help
up to it. You
right.
need some.
Right.
Like I have a shit ton of tubes at my house.
But I'm going to buy more.
But right? I need more. Right?
People walk up and you can watch their brain just go on overload because there's too many colors, too much stuff. And basically then they're like, do I even want to dig into this? And then you can see they kind of settle in, and then they start going through it all.
Well, as soon as they say to you, "What color should I use on?" And then Mark's probably like, "Yeah,
black.
I got him. I don't like
every color is good as long as it's black."
I feel bad getting baits from you when I see you, but it's like you walk up to that table and man, you just it's kid in a candy store.
I'll tell you, the paint
stuff.
Jobs really—they've come a long way. They look so great now. I mean, And I am it's hard for me to say that because I am a proponent of no paint. I am a tube purist. I prefer no paint at all. In fact, I think it's silly.
Well,
they are awesome paint jobs and they look awesome to the point where I may even start using painted tubes.
I think as a creator too, like, you know, I don't think any of us are the artist you are. That's no secret. But I think at the same time, Mark, you're doing this so long, it's something new and exciting to see how creative you can get and not just cranking out the greens and the walleyes. And
well, I mean, look at these things. They're awesome looking.
Is that what you know, Frank?
That's going to give you more confidence.
It's definitely everything. Look at, I can't stop doing leg locks. After 27 years, I was like, screw leg locks. Now I got a problem with them.
Yeah, creativity can be in anything, right? If you're creative in jujitsu, if you're creative in making tubes, if you're creative in carving, if you're creating in solving problems at all, like the whole world is problems. And problem solving is fun if you're using your own creativity to do it. And it's like, to me personally, and this sounds a little like esoteric maybe, but to me, creativity is close to divine. It's like the closest to whatever understanding of God you may have. To me, like, you know, God is a creator and creativity is that. And it's special. Like, it's a time where you go, even when you're fishing, like you're creative, like how you're fishing or what you're doing. And you know, you're in the right spot when you're in like a flow state and time is like, just goes by so fast. It's just gone. Like, I mean, this podcast is like, I look up, it's like 2 hours. I'm like, wow, like this, you know, we're in like a flow state because we're all talking about things that connect to our creativity. So it's just really interesting. So all these things, right? Like, you know, we learn this in martial arts, you know, you and I, from one thing, learn 10,000 things, you know, and it's the same thing. Like jujitsu is fishing, is business, is friendships, is, you know, it's all built on the same kind of principles. And if you notice that, if everyone notices that, everyone can run their lives a little better.
I always say jujitsu is a lot like muskie fishing because, like, the whole problem solving under pressure.
Yeah.
Like, we talk about that's what muskie fishing is, like, just the grind and dealing with that is a lot of pressure. It's a lot of pressure. Like, even coming over here, the girl at the booth was like, "What do you fish for?" And I'm like, "Muskie." She's like, "Do you fish for anything else?" I said, "No."
Yeah.
And then she looked at me, right? And it's just like sometimes – and like what we do, we attack each other for a hobby. I always tell my students, like, oh, I tried to get my friend to come in and they're just not coming. And I'm like, listen, this is weird. We're fucking weird. What we do.
Yeah,
we try to kill each other.
Yeah.
It's not appealing to most people. And it's musky fishing is no different. And the problem solving under pressure gets hyperdrived when a fish hits, a big fish hits, and you're all yelling at each other. You're trying to just finesse that fish in and you want it to happen so bad. So I see a lot of parallels. I mean, I think we're the kind of people that get drawn to these kinds of activities, and the ultimate skill is that with every big fish you get, Chris, and with every, you know, match you have, you temper your panic and you turn it into focus. And this is the beauty of musky fishing, if you ask me, you know.
And jiu-jitsu is like, there's like tied hand in hand, right? So it's so interesting to
possibly
for those of you that don't know, like I had heard about Frank for a long time, you know, he's in Canada and I'm in America on the opposite sides of the Niagara River, like pretty close to each other here.
And I talked to Mark about you. Yeah. He's like, you don't know Josh?
Everyone's like, you don't know Frank? Yeah, so he's a black belt in jiu-jitsu and on the Canadian board that has his own school. And then so am I, but I'm on the American side, the better side. Just kidding, Canada.
Better food.
Then, like, he had the same exact birthday as me. He, like, had Boston Terriers. And then he was a musky fisherman.
Yeah. The serious musky salt fisherman. And pepper beards.
That's right. That's my brother. Right. From, like, you know, then we get out fishing for the first time. We're just like vibing. We're like, yeah, we both like decentralization. We don't really like authoritarian governments trying to control our lives. This is good stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So
it was a perfect fit.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Do you know the name of Canada's one and only specialized pike and muskie shop? It's Izoco, and it's an Esox angler's paradise, offering the very best in hand-picked, top-quality gear, from bait casting to fly fishing, and even specialized Scandinavian tackle. Izoco's staff will provide expert advice and top-quality service. But Izoco is more than just a store. It's a community of passionate anglers that make up the Izoco tribe, and they're always ready to share tips, swap stories. So head over to their shop in person or online at izocofishing.com and let Izoco turn those fishing trips into epic stories.
Hi, everybody. I'm Angelo Viola.
And I'm Pete Bowman.
Now, you might know us as the hosts of Canada's favorite fishing show, but now we're hosting a podcast.
That's right. Every Thursday, Ange and I will be right here in your ears, bringing you a brand new episode of Outdoor Journal Radio.
Now, what are we going to talk about for 2 hours every week?
Well, you know there's going to be a lot of fishing.
I knew exactly where those fish were going to be and how to catch them, and they were easy to catch.
Yeah, but it's not just a fishing show. We're going to be talking to people from all facets of the outdoors, from athletes.
All the other guys would go golfing. Me and Garth and Turk and all the Russians would go fishing.
To scientists.
But now that we're reforesting and letting things free, it's the perfect transmission environment for Lyme disease.
To chefs.
If any game isn't cooked properly,
marinated,
or you will taste it.
And whoever else will pick up the phone.
Wherever you are, Outdoor Journal Radio seeks to answer the questions and tell the stories of all those who enjoy being outside.
Find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
No matter what species you love to target, from boot to headlamp, Angling Sports has what you need. Their store is massive, and it's just loaded with equipment and apparel. So if you love to go after those big toothy critters like we do, it's a one-stop shop for all pike and musky tackle. Whether you're looking for trolling rods or casting reels, Angling Sports is always adding the latest and best industry offerings from entry level to higher end. Looking for custom musky baits? They got them. It's worth the drive to London, so check out their amazing store in person or online by visiting anglingsports.ca and net that PB in style.
Chris, we're almost at the end of our adventure. What any loose ends we should tie up?
Oh, geez, we talked about a lot. There's a lot of stuff covered today, man. Oh. I think I could pick on a few small details, but I don't want to open them back up for the tube jigs and stuff. But I'd like to hear if there's a story maybe at the end. One thing I was going to ask. Do you guys Did you ever measure, like, or quantify how many tubes you sold since you started?
You know, I've been asked that question obviously a few times. The best I can tell you is over
1 million. 1 million.
A billion.
We're probably at this point, like this past year, I probably produced 15,000 tubes, somewhere in that ballpark. I would say early on, like in 2004 and five, when we first started doing all this stuff, we were stoked if we made like 12 in a week.
We'd use them ourselves.
It wasn't that bad, but it was pretty close.
We had a hand,
close,
not too we far. Cut them we with a hand roller. A hand roller right. That had blades on it.
I still have it.
Baby
yeah. I still I showed somebody that the other day. It's still in the same swaddling cloth. Same thing.
Hans had to put all his weight on it and grind down these pizza cutter things and into it. It was the worst ever. And just to get enough tubes for us to go fishing. And that was it, really.
So you think you're around 15,000?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Good for you, man. So, that's awesome.
Well, there was a night we made two guys. I don't know. Two guys we made over 500 tubes in a 4 hour shot.
That must have been
between
right?
Between the machine and then the dip. I still do both injection and hand dip. So most of this time when people order a custom color, like I only have a minimum quantity of 10, which is pretty reasonable. You call me up,
still the same.
If you want a custom color, 10 tubes, doesn't even matter. They could all be 10 inches or you can mix it up 7.5s, 10s, whatever. As long as you order 10, I'll make a custom color for you. But
you'll sell the leftovers anyways.
Yeah, we sell them anyways, exactly. But, you know, that night was, you know, half dipping and half injection. We made over 500 baits in a four-hour stint.
Crazy.
So we definitely, the production side of things is getting to be, and we've got a new mold. We just got back from the machine shop last week. It's a 4-up mold, which can produce a 5-inch, 6-inch, and 7-inch tube. So we're still getting that one dialed in to really be able to produce a few hundred before the shows.
Which one's the Ninja? Is it the 6-inch?
The Ninja's a 7.5. But the difference with these ones, the 5, 6, and 7s, instead of having the one, that's got a 1-inch inner chamber. The ones that I'm having made now have a 7/8 inner chamber.
You mean diameter?
Yeah.
Yeah.
7/8 diameter. So inside it's slightly smaller inside and it has a thinner wall. So it's a much, just a different, you know, the difference between a 7.5-inch monster tube and the 7.5-inch monster or the 7-inch monster juniors, they're like one's twice the size of the other. You know, they're more geared towards Lakers, pike fishermen, bass fishermen, the guys who fish ocean, you know.
So what percentage of your business is non-musky?
It's growing. Yeah, I've got a few guides now in Alaska who do a lot of halibut fishing.
Really?
Yep.
That's cool.
What a great development. That's someone that fishes for something you never even thought of is reaching out to you saying, hey, I'm catching fish.
That's exciting.
I'll tell you the coolest one.
That's so fun.
So they're catching ling cod, but the coolest one that I've seen are, familiar with a yellow eye? They're orange, big fatties.
They've got
these giant yellow eyes. They're really highly sought after, I guess.
Up there?
That's
in Alaska?
West Coast, northwest coast, and then up into Alaska.
Like a white flaky fish, right?
I don't know, but
they're
definitely.
So, what other fish? Because, look, we're partners with the Fishing Canada Show, Outdoor Journal Radio Podcast Network. We know that we have a ton of multi species anglers listening now to the show. So, what if you're fishing for what? You can use a Red October.
Yeah, so we've gotten pictures, like I said, we got a lot of saltwater stuff. This past year, I got 2 catfish pictures sent to me.
Someone's on the bottom.
Giant, they're like big flathead catfish, like jumbos, like 35, 40 pounders.
Dang.
And then
they fight hardcore, right?
Yeah. Stripers, bluefish.
Cool.
Yeah. Jesus, what else have we got? Walleye. We got quite a few walleye. Always get your random big largemouth bass pictures sent to me. Once in a while, a smallmouth. We'll grab the tube. This kid down in where the hell was he? He was either in Kentucky or Tennessee or something. He got just a whopper smallmouth on the tube.
I caught a huge. My boat caught a huge walleye on the Niagara with a green goblet.
Yeah, I mean shit. We even catch drum. Yeah. Like, I mean,
Gasper Goose.
You name it.
Gasper
man.
Goose.
I caught
a smallie on one of your tubes in the Niagara.
Yeah. That's the same thing.
For the small one,
I think tube jigs in general, where the first muskie I ever caught was on a 1-inch tube. First muskie in my life. 1-inch tube while I was crappie fishing. You know, like, tubes are, they're just that versatile. So, whatever's out there, they'll eat it.
And obviously, Lakers.
Lakers. Yeah. Lakers.
I have a feeling we have quite a few Laker anglers listening to the show.
Can I ask you guys something?
Yeah.
By the Pike the Ugly Pike podcast. Like, I watched you guys. Like, I was on one of the first episodes, too, in that first string there.
Yeah.
And I seen you guys, like, blow up, man. You guys
all
like,
were.
Yeah, you guys. Yeah, we were in a little string in a row, like, as separate, but we were not together. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I've seen your process. We talked about Red October's process today. We talked about Hans's process. And your process was really interesting to me. Like, we talked a little bit as you're going through it. Johnny Dotson and myself, too, like, when he was making his business, I just love talking to my friends that are building businesses. I think it's really cool and really interesting because it's systems oriented. And it seems like you guys are, like, really for real now. Like, you guys are up there. You worked really hard to get here. So,
yeah.
How long has this been going on?
Chris, sixth year, seventh year, whatever.
16, I think we started. We started in October of 16, and that's when, like, just the, you know, the whole branding started and the naming and just getting stuff organized and figuring out what, like, how to even set up a podcast. Like, back then, there was tons of podcasts, but it wasn't like there are today where, you know, everybody has a podcast. So we were still kind of trying to figure out, how do you put this together? What type of equipment you need? And that was kind of the beginning of it. And then we started in, you know, right at the end of 2016, 2017.
That's awesome.
That was the beginning.
It's really cool to see like you guys blow up like that. And you know, I don't know if you guys want to talk about this or not, but I see you guys got big time sponsors, you know, now. And
let's talk about it. Our sponsors would love it.
Yeah, for real.
But like, I wanted to mention that earlier.
English Sports
Opie Zoco and English Sports. They all carry our products. So
cool.
We've actually picked up a bunch of stores in Canada in the last 18 months, like way, way more than any other locale.
That's awesome. So, like all my road trips this year, like, I try to incorporate the Ugly Pike podcast into my road trips.
Oh, nice.
You guys are awesome. So, it's, like, so cool to see you guys doing it, but also putting out, like, a legit product that I crave. You know, it's like oh, my friend.
It's so great, Josh, to hear that, like, there's value in it for people, right? Like, at the end of the day, when people can listen and get value from it and learn it, and, you know, we get a lot of our feedback that, like, what they listen to or what some guest brought to the show, like yourself or, like, another guest, you know, they learn from that and they that translated into success on the water, I think. And then, you know, you start seeing sponsors now partnering with us because they can see value in our exposure. So all that with Frank and I putting in, like, years of just nothing, right? Like, no feedback. And it just took a long time. And as with anything, it's just, you don't typically get great success right off the start. So it was a grind, like everything, but now the feedback is really good for us.
It's really great, actually. That's the hardest part of any business, is going from that one level to the next level.
What people don't really understand is that this was never intentional.
Love and labor of love,
right? It was never, like, don't get me wrong, Chris, you know as well as I do, there was a point where we looked at each other and we said, I think we're onto something, like, let's get a little more serious. But We never were like, you know, how do we take this to the next level? Or we never.
That sounds like Red October.
Yeah, exactly.
Same thing, man.
Or Hans the Carver, when he's like, I'm going to carve a fish because I feel like it. You know?
So, like, when people, like, ask me about, like, you know, life and, you know, these existential questions about business, and you want to say, like, do the things you love, but it sounds so stupid and hollow and cliche because everybody says it. But I think the people that are really happy, I think, in life, that it got there doing the things they love. There's a lot of wisdom in that. Like, when you're not on a roof banging, you know, stripping roof shingles, you know, every day, like, that's tough work.
Maybe you love that. Maybe that's what you love, but, like,
maybe you do, but
find something that you love. And, like,
sitting on a fish.
The problem, Josh, is when you have so much. The problem is when you got so much in your mind and you love so many things, how do you do it all?
Well, Chris, I mean, I think in the context of what Josh is asking us, it's, you know what, maybe you just start and you just do.
You got to take a step.
You know, then the success is going to find you.
Yeah, the hard work, I mean, the discipline is really what it is. You keep through the grind, you keep discipline.
Discipline is important.
It's discipline plus love. is going to be on a, put you on a path where you're willing to do what it takes to go. Like, yeah, who's willing to go and dip tubes in a freezing cold garage where you have to shovel out snow?
Exactly.
No,
exactly.
This is really how it was in the beginning. We were shoveling out, moving a boat in the snow, and then making tubes, and then driving to Chicago in a snowstorm to sit with some paper bags and just happen to have Pete Maynard like go, "Hey, man, can I have one of these?" And we're like, can we have your autograph? You know, and so that happened. And then the next year we go back there, and the day we arrive, his, I don't know if it was biggest fish, but it was a big fish. He catches it. It's aired on TV, like in the lobby of the hotel where all the Mussie guys are staying. And we see it. And then we go to the next show, and it's like Krispy Kreme's when it opened in Buffalo. There's like a line of people buying tubes. And I was like, whoa, something just happened here. You know what I mean? Cool. This is something different now.
Yeah, I think we almost got shut down because they thought we were making meth.
Breaking meth.
They brought the cops one time to my house because they thought we were making meth in the
garage.
They thought
we were cooking in there.
And then moving to our town, we're cooking pink dildo things hanging up everywhere. Yeah. And they're like, steam is coming out. We're coming out with masks on, like, you know, like Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
And like full suits.
We hear, knock, 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 Buffalo Police.
Yeah.
Open up the door.
And then he was pretty cool. He's like, what the hell is going on?
What are you guys doing? We're like, what does it look like?
it's like, who would lie about, like, that's really, that's a real effort if you're really cooking meth to throw up all these fishing lures. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like when we're on the Larry in the winter and the cops, they always pull up to us. Hey, what are you guys doing?
Right.
And then the one boat. Second after talking to us and looking at the boat, they're like, okay, these guys
don't care.
These guys have mental problems. Leave them alone.
You don't leave 12-watt hooks laying all around and barefoot if you're not really doing something.
It's quite an effort to smuggle whatever we would allegedly be smuggling to throw all these baits and actually fish for 12 hours on the water, which is what we're doing. So, Chris, before we sign off, if there's anything from you, I want to kind of go around the table here and see if there's anything these guys want to, parting words or something they want to promote or websites or anything like that. Is there anything we want to get to before that?
Yeah, 100%. We should reach out to, we should talk to each one to see how people can find their stuff. Sure. And Mark, I did notice that there was a new web site coming up for Red October.
Okay, let's start with Mark.
That's almost an embarrassment.
Is that true?
It's been true. It's been true for, I don't know, 7 years. But hopefully,
listen, when we spoke to you the first time,
did I tell you that?
You were getting a website done. And you said there was a person that was working on it. She may or may not still be the
coming
same
soon.
On it.
Yeah, she did actually. I just never opened it because I was so damn busy.
Yeah, this is hard.
It's ridiculous, but we will. We will.
Mark his words. We will get
him. Right, he's a promise on the land here. Because I would order him too. And
if people need to get a hold of me, monstertubes@yahoo.com.
Right. But if you e-com, if you want to buy these online, you can go to Izoco. You can go to
Sports.ca.
You can find these.
Yeah, there's probably there's upwards of 20, 30 online retailers.
No, there's two. There's Izoco and there's Angling Sports. There's only two, everybody. Dean, and we need you to edit that part out.
I'm not.
Sorry, it's a new day here. We're at the Ugly Bike Podcast. We're whores now.
How's your beer, anyways?
The beer's going good. We're about to, kind of like your website, we're still in negotiations with a new partner because our old partner is having some challenges and we needed to move away from him. But
I could maybe be your partner in this.
Well, you know what? I think in January we'll make an announcement on a new product.
Cool. Oh.
And that'll be ready for the spring. And so stay tuned for that. Yeah.
Very cool.
It's going okay. It's been tough, but that's okay. This has been a very fun project for us. And
what's the name of the beer?
Ugly Pike.
Ugly Pike.
Is it? Just as simple. That's it.
Well, Ugly Pike Pilsner, but now we're going to the new
it's
product.
It's an umbrella name for like other beers?
Yeah. So we'll have like Ugly Pike Pilsner, Ugly Pike IPA, blah, blah, blah. But we might name it here and there. But as of right now, the new product is yet to be named.
Gotcha. Are they brewing it?
I'll show you guys
in Canada?
Brewing Canada. I know where you're going with this. And I'm on board. And so will Chris. So so anything else with Red October? Because I have a feeling Josh's outro is going to be a half hour long.
Yeah, you might be.
I can't wait. I know what it's about, and it's good.
No, looking forward to seeing everybody at the shows.
I'll keep it brief.
Again, I just want to give a shout out to our customers, all the guides who stuck with us and helped us become what we are. You guys, obviously part of that, Ugly Bike. I I'm going to keep grinding. And if you can't get a hold of me, too bad, man. I'm busy guy. So.
Yeah, well, there you go. See, one of the biggest sales tactics, create scarcity, create urgency. So, yeah. What about yourself, Hans?
For me, I mean, if you want to contact me, whether it's to do fishing trips or lures or carvings or whatever, you can email me at hansthecarver1@gmail.com. Or I am old school. You can call me on my phone number.
Oh, my God.
Which is 716-982-4935.
Yes. From the dick pics.
Right. Oh, yeah. I love those. But yeah.
Your website too, Buffalo Harbor.
Yeah, I got a website, Buffalo Harbor Outfitters. There is a Hans the Carver website. I don't do too much on it. I'm pretty active on Facebook and Instagram, which is just go to Hans the Carver, you know, and or Buffalo Harbor Outfitters. Mostly Hans the Carver is where I do a lot of stuff though. So
can I throw one more thing in for Hans? I'm sure you have non-musky or people who are musky fishermen and fish for other species. Mm. If you are looking to catch smallmouth, walleye, lakers, brown trout, you name it, the guy is phenomenal. He knows when and where to be, and he'll put you on fish. And if he's planning to catch walleye today and it's not happening, he might know how to get the smallmouth or the perch or whatever. He'll catch fish.
And it's not just on Lake Erie, right?
Right.
Yeah, I focus on Lake Erie. With that being said, I do a lot on the Lake Ontario, a lot on the Niagara River.
St. Lawrence,
I do a lot of musky fishing up on the St. Lawrence, so you'll see me up there sometimes. But I mean,
can somebody hire you as a guide for musky on the Larry?
You can, however, I'm booked for those days.
He wants a Friday trip.
Yeah, I don't have any more time to go up there. So it's I do a lot of if one of my groups bails, sure, then that leaves opening for someone else to get in.
Listeners, I hire Hans for Lake Erie because it is a different way of fishing. It's so much fun. It's just different. So if you're looking for a different experience, you know, it's
you definitely get a full tour of the waterfront of Buffalo.
Oh, yes.
You know what I mean?
It's
a very in-depth tour. Sometimes rods goes off and sometimes they don't, but
there's lots of good stories associated.
It's fun. Everybody loves the trip. They end up coming back. You know, there's great food in Buffalo. You know, you come, stay for a couple of days, roll the dice at a true mega, you know?
Well, when we were fishing, Ben and I were fishing on his boat and we were starving. We had our big fishing net and Josh came on the platform and lowered two hamburgers into our fishing net. And,
I did.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. I did.
Yeah, I don't know. I had a burger. I don't remember what he had, a sandwich or something like that, and saved the day. And
that's
we had some more food
that
in our belly. Yeah. So you never know who you're going to see on Lake
Erie.
It's
urban. It's urban fishing. So you're like around all this cool skyline. And stuff.
Yeah, and that's part of why it's different, right?
It's like a weird place.
And Buffalo is, I told you guys the last time I came here, when I have my GPS on and I see Welcome to the United States of America, that's like the greatest feeling. I love it. Of course, I know I'm coming to see you guys, see friends and stuff like that, but Buffalo is really a special town, and we're all sitting at this table. I know where we're all going to be at 4:30 today, right? Right? So a big game. Every game right now for the Bills is a playoff game.
Huge.
Yeah.
So
we got to do it.
Go Bills!
You know, one of the reasons why I think we got this recording out and done so we can all be back. And myself, I've got an hour drive. I've got to do some shopping because I'm cooking dinner tonight. But hope the Bills can pull it off tonight. This is a special town, though. And when we're fishing the harbor, there's always these cool little stories and lots of laughs. So it's a real special place. Okay, Josh, what about yourself? What's going on?
I just want to say, I'm going to turn this around here.
You don't need to. If you have to turn it around now, fuck the whole
episode. Too late? All right. I'm not in the musky business anymore. I don't have a musky business, but I just started one at this table. So anyone who's interested in buying Hans's carvings when he does it, I'm gonna take an ad out. I'm gonna take an ad out on Ugly Pike, and you guys, whatever that is, and then we're gonna auction it. So if you guys are interested in that, check out his carvings, and that's my new business. I take a cut off the top.
Cool.
I heard that Ugly Pike is making jerky. Is that right? Are you guys debating this?
Whoa!
Should I not talk about this right now? I was trying to help you guys.
You nailed it.
Is this a 41 1 hour 41 minute mark for Dean to edit out?
No, I'm good. I'm good. I mean, I like that was very organic.
Yes, it sure, certainly was. That was super organic.
I like meat. I don't know anyone knows.
Josh that. Is making. He's telling me about his jerky adventures today, and given the meat that's in front of us, so I kind of spilled the beans. But we're in the early stages of exploring a line of boat snacks under the Ugly Pike banner.
Mm. Yes,
and boat snacks.
Yeah, and beef jerky is the staples that anglers have in their boat that where we don't have to worry about refrigeration or maybe even if we left the pack, you know, maybe we didn't unpack when we got home and the next week we went out, it's still going to be okay. You know, those are the kind of snacks we're looking at. So we're not committed to it yet, Chris, but I think we're well on our way. Is that a fair statement?
That's fair. Yeah.
It souns right up my alley.
It's in the works.
I didn't mean to put you guys in the spot. That's there, okay. But like, I'm going to put mine if you guys don't mind. That's not really musky related,
okay.
But I don't have anything musky related anymore to plug. But I'm doing a wellness festival in Buffalo. It's called Western New York Well Fest. It's on February 3rd. There's going to be all kinds of stuff. Like jiu-jitsu is going to be the center of it. There's free classes for beginners, kids, Muay Thai. It's just going to be like a festival of music. And like there's going to be a stage set up where people like give their speeches and stuff like that. Talk about like how carnivore diet helped them or how certain holistic medicines helped them and how people are getting off medicines. And they're doing it mostly by changing their environment around them. Our environments are causing a lot of these problems, our foods, our medicines, and we need to problem solve this together. We can't let the people that are doing this keep doing this. We can problem solve together. We can find ways to bring people together. So that's going to be February 3rd at Buffalo River Works in Buffalo. It's like a big, there's gonna be 120 booths maybe. And like, there's still spots left. So if you got a holistic
120 booths,
120 booths. Well, we were debating the exact number, but there's gonna be 120. We did one over the summer and we had like 60 booths, maybe we did outside and we did it with Chalk Fest, but this now is like got momentum. Like, and it's pretty cool. We're gonna be releasing a beer there that is, you know, you guys can maybe have your beer there too, and we'll talk about that. But the last thing I want to say is I write for the Society of Problem Solvers. It's a Substack, and we talk about solutions there. And what we really talk about the most is we talk about solving problems in groups and how when we help each other solve problems, we can get far. But we have to fix trust in groups. Like, trust is what's broken. If you look around society, most of our systems, if you ask yourself if you trust that system, the answer is no. Do you trust government? Do you trust media? Do you trust academia? Do you trust food? Do you trust medicine? Do you trust even science? Do you trust voting? Like, these are all systems. And we can solve this problem by understanding the problem better, which is in a system, the problem is lack of transparency and lack of results. And we're not seeing transparency in our systems and we're not seeing results. What we can do is make new high trust systems between all of us. We can, you know, choose to go to a new place where we trust each other and we block out all the noise and we talk there. So that is what the Society of Problem Solvers discusses. And if that interests you, like, check that out. So thanks for listening to that. And maybe we'll see you at Wellfest. Frank, thank you so much for having me. Yeah, man. This was awesome.
I'm so happy that we did this.
Yeah, this was great. I felt like, just like, you know, we usually feel on the boats, we were vibing really good, talking about some really interesting stuff. And like, really love seeing your podcast blow up, man. It's like,
appreciate it.
It's so awesome.
Yeah, you know, we were after Mark for like 6 months and he's busy. And, you know, then on Hans's boat, and you know, you and I are always talking almost every day, so this was just kind of
perfect.
I don't know, it's just kind of overdue, I think.
Yeah, right? We should do it again, like a round table. This is like awesome.
Let's do it again next week.
Yeah.
Some more fucking meat,
dude. I'll make as much.
Mark's gonna bring me some more baits. We'll do it once a week.
Yeah, this is great. Yeah.
I think getting you guys all together was just made for a really special episode.
Yeah, and yeah, I think a lot of people in the community are going to love it too. So,
where are you right now? Again, you're in like the Middle East, right?
Yeah, I'm way far away across the across
that
big pond.
What time is it for you?
10:30. Yeah.
All right.
After he worked a 12-hour day.
Well, thank you for grinding it out for us. Yeah. We're over here eating meats and frolicking, and you're over there grinding.
Yeah, I'm jealous. I'm always jealous when I hear the camaraderie.
Cool. All right, Chris. Anything else?
No, that was great. Really appreciate it. And signing off. I think we covered everything today.
All right, guys, girls, thanks for listening. Head over to iTunes or any platform and leave a review. That would really help us. If you're a business, no matter what size, from the carver in his basement cranking out lures to the big international company, we have packages that suit any budget. And our exposure is amazing. Starting in January, on the Fishing Canada TV show. This network, our network, the Outdoor Journal Podcast, Outdoor Journal Radio Podcast Network, will be sponsoring the Get In There portion of the show. And so our album cover and our sponsors will be visible to 3.5 million anglers. It's an amazing opportunity to get national TV exposure at podcast rates. Yeah, so yeah, reach out to us. Of course, we have a six-figure listenership in terms of contacts that we get a month here just from the show itself. So tons of reach, and it's a perfect target audience. So reach out to me and Chris on social media or through our website. And that's it. Hope the Bills can pull it off today, guys.
Go Bills!
All right, guys, signing off. Thank you.
See ya.
No matter what species you love to target, from boot to headlamp, Angling Sports has what you need. Their store is massive, and it's just loaded with equipment and apparel. So if you love to go after those big toothy critters like we do, it's a one-stop shop for all pike and muskie tackle. Whether you're looking for trolling rods or casting reels, Angling Sports is always adding the latest and best industry offerings from entry level to higher end. Looking for custom muskie baits? They got them. It's worth the drive to London, so check out their amazing store in person or online by visiting anglingsports.ca and net that PB in style. Do you know the name of Canada's one and only specialized pike and muskie shop? It's Izoco, and it's an Esox angler's paradise, offering the very best in hand-picked, top-quality gear, from bait casting to fly fishing, and even specialized Scandinavian tackle. Izoco's staff will provide expert advice and top-quality service. But Izoco's more than just a store. It's a community of passionate anglers that make up the Izoco tribe, and they're always ready to share tips, swap stories. So head over to their shop in person or online at izocofishing.com and let Izoco turn those fishing trips into epic stories. Do you know the name of Canada's one and only specialized pike and muskie shop? It's Izoco, and it's an Esox angler's paradise, offering the very best in hand-picked, top-quality gear, from bait casting to fly fishing, and even specialized Scandinavian tackle. Izoco's staff will provide expert advice and top-quality service. But Izoco's more than just a store. It's a community of passionate anglers that make up the Izoco tribe, and they're always ready to share tips, swap stories. So head over to their shop in person or online at izocofishing.com and let Izoco turn those fishing trips into epic stories.